Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
Hi.
It's Lara.
It's Carrie.
And welcome to Sexy Unique
Podcast. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Thursday.
Happy
it's
Thursday.
Wednesday for us, but it's Thursday for you.
Happy Thursday.
You're existing on a whole different plane of day.
I'm existing in a whole different plane of everything this fucking week.
Honestly, this
I've had the most harrowing week of...
Why is your week so harrowing?
Well... It's not that harrowing, but of the last few weeks, I had jury duty.
The last few
weeks. I had jury duty.
Oh, yeah, you had jury duty. That is harrowing.
I got picked for the trial, drove over there yesterday, got a ticket for running a light, and it was out in Santa Monica, and
troll,
then I got there,
troll,
and it was a mistrial.
Troll. A series of trolls.
Mm-hmm.
There is no jury duty scenario that is not a troll.
Mm-mm.
It's just like your civic duty to be trolled.
I was telling you before, like, I really have to adopt that just brutal, no fucks given mentality of like, I will be a monster to you today, so you will excuse me.
Oh yeah, I go into total like borderline psycho bitch mode where it's like, I'm just going to make it clear with like body language and actual language that I have no time for this.
Jury duty is performance. It's performance art. What is that called when they question you? Is it I forget what it's called.
Cross-examine?
No, when the attorneys question the jury to like suss out who they want.
Oh, interviewing? Or I don't know.
Whatever.
Whatever
it's
it
a
is.
Name
whatever they
saying.
Do.
But it was like high performance art.
You really have to like...
I was living for the drama.
I love the drama. And I also really like aligning with other people that are over it. And so that we all share same sentiment of like, ugh, like throwing our hands in the air. We're all on the same team.
Looking at each other, giving this knowing like, here we are.
Because do you even get paid if you're a juror? You paid like $20 or something?
I think so. I think I got $15. I think you get like $15 to show up. And then yesterday I had $0 because it was a mistrial.
Now you're in the red, actually, because you have to pay for a parking ticket.
No, I had a legit ticket that I think I might have to go.
Oh,
like,
an actual ticket.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So you're paying money.
I said to the cop, I'm going to jury duty.
What did he say?
Nothing.
He doesn't give a shit.
He was on a bike and he had one of those little...
A bicycle?
Yeah. What? Like a motorbike.
Oh,
motorcycle.
Okay.
A bike.
A motorized vehicle with two wheels. What is that?
He was on a tricycle.
Yeah, jury duty is a troll. It was, especially if, like, I think, honestly, jury duty is probably great if you have a 9-to-5 that you don't want to be at.
It's yeah.
It's a fun other place to go.
But no one there, no one on my, whatever, no one of the 24 that were picked to be questioned were loving it.
Yeah.
Someone, people were pulling out, I grew up in the school of hard knocks. I was like, oh my, shut. I was like, what? And then at one point I was nodding at something someone was saying, and I was in the front row, of course.
Yeah.
And the plaintiff attorney who was suing said, Mr. O'Donnell, you seem to be nodding, or is something resonating with you? And I was like, bits of what she was saying. I said, just bits.
You're too coy.
But I should have been.
You gotta lay it on thick.
I hinted at suspicion, but I was a little like I'm peering through. I'm like parting the blinds.
Yeah, you're Jeffree Star in that meme where he's like just looking through the sheer curtain.
I'm like sheer curtaining it, like parting the sheer curtain and looking outside at something suspicious when I should have just been punching through the glass.
Yeah,
getting my hand all bloody and just waving blood around. Mm-hmm. That's how I should have been.
That's how you have to be.
That's how the girl next to me was, and she was merciless. And I was like at one point kind of afraid to be sitting next to her because she just had this vibe of like, I'm getting out of here. And I was like, wow, she's...
I go Charlize Theron Mad Max level in any sort of potential jury duty. I want to present myself
Furiosa.
As a full Furiosa liability. That's how I'm trying to be.
Laura,
I'm trying to Furiosa the fuck out of there.
Laura in jury duty is that shot of her kneeling in the desert and just screaming. That's you. Mm-hmm. I should have been Furiosa too, but I was... And then I was like, when I got picked, I was like, does this say something about me? Like, is this a psychological test that I failed? Like, if I was in the apocalypse, would I die? You know what I mean? Like, I felt...
It gets existential.
I almost felt, like, depressed when I was driving home, because I was like, did I fail in mm-hmm. some way? Was I too timid? Or does this say that I'm too, like...
No, you're probably just a good person. That's
no,
like...
I don't know what, like, I was like, going into it, I was like, I'm gonna be... Furiosa,
mm-hmm.
but as soon as I sat down, I was like, I am on trial. Like I was like, as like, God yes, is my witness. I was totally like, I've been caught. I think it's my shame. Mm-hmm. I just have like insurmountable amount
you have
of shame.
Guilt.
I have guilt for everything. Yeah. So I think I just the minute I sat down, I was like, oh my God. Like if I don't tell the truth,
I'm Furiosa. Through and through.
You have a grenade launcher as a hand.
I'm literally
you're Rose McGowan in
I am
in with the
in Planet Terror
with the machine.
They ask me a question and I just raise my leg and shoot a fucking round into the ceiling and then I cross it over and I'm not wearing underwear, Sharon Stone style, and then I'm like, no more questions, Your Honor. And they're like, get her out of
your
here.
Your foot is smoking.
Your gun is smoking.
You cross your legs and you
the
go.
The whole courtroom sees my vagina as I cross my leg over. And then I go, that will be all.
That will be all. And they go, Ms. Shane Hall,
you're dismissed.
And you.
And I go, and blow off my foot. And then I say thank you and hop out of there. I am not doing your fucking jury duty. I'm not going to do it.
Stop.
That's a no for me. Sorry, not sorry. I am that bitch.
I'm laughing so hard. I thought I was going to fart.
Literally, do not ever ask me to come to jury duty.
I wish you could have just seen Laura's image of her blowing off... the invisible smoke.
Blowing the roof off the courtroom.
Firing warning shots into the ceiling.
It ain't happening, Your Honor.
I should have done that.
I'm literally Danielle Staub in a courtroom.
I'm Jacqueline.
Yeah.
I was like, at one point there were, the case was, I think, pretty scammy, but mm-hmm. there was some complicated factors that I won't go into.
Yeah.
Big factors. And one of them was the person being who was suing was not going to be able to testify himself. So his mother was going to be able to talk to testify him, which I was like,
eye roll.
That, and I said, I was like, I'm a You're little, like, I said, I've got to be honest with you. I'm a little suspicious of that fact. And no one else had said it at that point. And then as soon as I said it, everyone started saying it and they said it more aggressively.
Yeah. So you started the wave. You just didn't ride
but
it.
I got caught in the current.
Yeah, you did. You got sucked under in the undercurrent.
I got caught in the foam. Yeah, but it was pretty gnarly. And then, but then the mistrial was a godsend.
Yeah. And then it was over for was now. Over.
And I was like, before we went in, I was like, we were all like kind of commiserating. It seemed like a good crew. It was mostly women. There was like four guys and eight women. And so I was like, oh, this is a good group. Everyone was nice. I was like, I'm going to forge some connections now because this is going to be my people for the next few years. And then, yeah. And then we were like, fuck all of you. Bye.
Bye.
It was like the lights came on and we all just went, bye.
Bye. See you never.
See you literally never.
If I was a billionaire with just like nothing to do and had a lot of time on my hands and then got called for jury duty, I would happily just like fuck with it. And like I would be actually the best juror. But I need to get paid top dollar to be a juror. And you can't lure me into a jury with like $15 in some low budget fucking trial in a bullshit courtroom. It ain't happening.
Yeah. You had the right mentality. So that was my harrowing.
That is harrowing.
You had a harrowing night in a good way.
I had a positive wild night. Harrowing. I had a positively harrowing night in the best way possible last night because I went to Tom and Ariana's fancy AF cocktail party.
Woo!
Opening party. Woo! I was in a place of woo.
You were in a place of woo. I was in a place of Nunca. You were in a place of woo.
Yeah. Ronnie from Watch What Crappens asked me to be his
funny.
Plus one.
He's
and
the best.
He truly makes me lol from the second I see him to the second we part ways.
I've only chatted with him on the phone, but
he's a true gem of a human being. And I was honored to be his plus one for the night. And yeah, the cocktail, what can I say? The cocktails were really good. They had one called a Tequila Katie, which shockingly was the best cocktail.
Wow.
It was like a margarita with beet juice in it.
Ooh.
It was yummy. A margarita. I'm deducting 1 point.
Whoever tagged us, the margarita
the
pick.
The margarita was really good.
Thank you.
Yeah, and all the Vando crew was there, except Jax was not there, and
missing.
Brittany was there.
Whoa.
Which was weird to me.
Was she drinking?
I don't know. She was wearing a pink jumpsuit that I've seen before. And I
still
didn't
got
like
an
it
ulcer?
Then, and I didn't like it now. Hmm. I don't know. I wasn't really tracking her so much, though I did meet her at the end of the night as I was like walking out and said hi, and she was very sweet.
Aw. You said
Lala is truly stunningly gorgeous. Like her derm deserves
awards.
He's up for across the board award season.
We need to figure it out because I need that.
It's Jason. I think she sees Jason Diamond and maybe another guy, but like, cause she had come to podcast way back in the day when I was doing Pumped podcast and she came on. It was like, I think after her first season of Vanderpump Rules. And she's always been like really pretty, but she just had some like skin issues going on, like a little bit of acne. That ain't the case anymore. She looks like she has like a rich face.
Yeah.
You know, some people just their face is rich. She's full blown rich.
She's wealth face.
Yeah. Total wealth face. Wealth like body language. I was very like, I was impressed.
Handle.
I was in a state of awe and in a state of woo.
Did you say hi to her?
Yeah. I said hi to her.
Was she nice?
She was nice. I feel like she like couldn't place me.
Great outfit.
Good outfit. Yeah, she.
Remember
looked
we
like,
saw her in a jumpsuit.
Yeah, we saw her in a jumpsuit
at Tom
Tom.
She had black hair.
She's back to like a kind of honeyish color of hair, which I think suits her better.
God, Randall and her.
Yeah, they're really.
He must really be rich.
He has some or a really good line of credit.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's but she was killing it. I ended up standing behind, obviously Tom and Ariana were super nice,
yeah.
As they always are.
Right.
There was a photo booth. Tom wanted a photo booth to be editorial. So it was a guy taking your photo with a camera and one light hanging down. And so it was like, you're splashed kind of with light in the face, but behind you is like dark black. So it's like really dramatic. And the photographer was screaming directions at people, but it was really effective for like getting the best shot that you could really? Possibly get. Like Tom, you could tell he was like very invested in having everyone look model-y.
Of course he was.
So the photographer would be like, don't look at the light. And then like Ronnie and I posed for a photo and I kind of tried to do like a couture lean and he goes, don't lean. And so then I straightened up, but he really, he knew what he was doing. And I trust a scream.
Yeah.
If someone screams at me,
yes,
I absolutely trust them.
For me, 100%.
I want more people to scream directions at me.
Me too.
I absolutely respond to that.
I want someone to wake me up every morning doing that.
Yeah. It was effective in the pictures.
What if that guy followed you around all day? Don't go in, Erwan!
He needs to be like, don't pull up the Daily Mail! When I like, go to like, he needs to keep me on task and photograph me.
Don't go to 7-Eleven 3 times in one day!
He slaps some of the food out of my hand.
Put those gummy Airhead sour candies out of your hand that get all the sprinkly stuff in your bed. Get it out of here.
Get it out.
Don't eat that in your bed.
Yeah, we all need a scream photographer mm-hmm. in our lives. So Tom is like on the right track with that.
But you were standing behind.
But so at one point in the night, I was standing behind Katie and Stassi. They were like sitting with a group of people. It was like Katie, Stassi, Lala, Logan, No, who is maybe James' paramour at one point or another, and Brittany. And then Bo was off to the side, like chatting with Ronnie. And I was like fully conscious that I was now in like the lion's den a bit. But also I was like, I don't want to just stand here awkwardly because that's like not my vibe these days. So I was like, I'm just going to be like kind and say hi because that's like we're all humans in this yeah. situation. So I said hi to Katie and she seemed kind of like shocked at first, but then was like nice and conversational. And then I was like, hey, Stassi. And she just looked at, she just like gave me a look. And I was like, it's Lara. Like we, and she looked at me like she did not know who I was.
She Danielle'd you.
She didn't fully stopped me. Danny Provisano? That was Stassi to me. I was like, hey, because we've podcasted together and last year we had a whole night out with my friend Jason, like out on the town in New York, like took to the streets. Like we've hung out.
Also, she listened to our episode.
Oh yeah. Also, she listened
to her Road to Sur episode. She commented on my photo. I listened to the whole thing. The only thing you didn't get right was like
her, the name of whatever girl. Yeah. But like, I was like, I know exactly what you're doing.
You know
I was like,
I
go, we went out like last year with Jason. I was like, I have brown hair now. So like, it's different because some people have like been really thrown by my natural hair color. She goes, Jason? And I was like, yeah, like an explain. And then she was like, what? Like, I was like, are you mad? Like, I know what you're doing right now. And it's just a lol, but also like you're a psycho that for that. Yeah, she was like confused, and then Katie kind of explained. She was like, "Oh," and then just like sat there. And I was like, "Okay." And then I like chatted with Bo for a second, and then I texted you and like lolled and walked away.
Wow.
So I was like, "Whoa!" And then she kept going up to Ronnie. Like she did the like classic mean girl thing, where like you go up to the person that the person like, really you like nice isn't to talking them. To, and you're really nice to them. And I was like, okay, like I.
She knew exactly who you were.
I'm like, honey, I went to private school and then a boarding school. I know this song and dance very, very well.
I've been a woman but for 30 off, plus queen. Years.
Yeah, I was like, I'm 35 years old, a little bit older than you.
Yeah.
This ain't my first time at the rodeo.
Wow. Yeah. That's like.
She was like.
That is straight up like.
She was power moving me, but she
Jason?
Didn't know that there was no.
Jason?
There were no power moves to be made.
Truly. I love that fate. Like, she looks around.
She was like...
like, who's this girl talking about?
Yeah. Like, a true who am I talking about trying to make
How'd
me...
she look?
Make me doubt my own reality. I don't love her hair color. Think she's better as a blonde.
Good for her.
But you know what? Congratulations.
Congrats on her tour. We have a tour coming up.
We have a tour on the horizon.
We were really excited to share the news. And we're so happy that people were excited about it. And we're ready to rock.
There's been a pre-sale going on
for all the
members of the Facebook group,
Patreon.
Sex Unique People, and all the Patreon people.
Tickets
are selling like hotcakes.
And fully on sale on Friday. So if you want to, if you were worried about any go for it Friday.
Yeah.
And
if there's still tickets available on Friday,
get to it. We're really excited, though.
We're
I'm excited to be back in New York because that's where I used to live, and I'll see some people there, and we're all excited. I'm excited to meet all the listeners.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild
time. You've taken me on
this
crazy road. It's so cool, and I haven't been to Chicago in 11 years.
I'm excited to go back to Chicago.
No, 15 years.
I was there... When was I there? In 2015. Oh, and then maybe a little bit after that. But not in a... I've never made like a triumphant creative return to the city.
We're both going where we used to live.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Which is cool. And...
It feels good.
It feels good.
Everyone has been really... The people who have reached out have been super cool. And I'm just like... It's going to be really fun.
We're too blessed to be stressed.
We have some fun things planned.
We have a lot of tricks up our sleeves. Shout out also to Greg Kozatek.
Oh, yes.
Who made the poster.
Greg Kozatek is like...
A creative genius.
He's truly a genius. He's an amazing artist. You should check out his stuff. Follow him on Instagram and Twitter.
At
Kozatek. He's really, really gifted and like...
A visionary.
Is a true loller and gets it so much. He, again, is... The one responsible, if anyone remembers the image of Lindsay Lohan with a, serpent body, he brought that to life. He conjured that. He's like he's a witch in the best way.
He is.
I mean, there's only a good way to be a witch, but he's amazing. And I'm just really grateful that he's going to hopefully be doing some other stuff.
Too. Yeah. So get your tickets on Friday and
come for the show. Stay for the
after show.
God, everyone's like,
they were about to
push by. About to buy their ticket.
They take their hand away and then just like put it back in their lap.
And they were like, good luck to both.
No.
No, I don't think so.
I'm really sorry about that. And
I'm not checking this out.
I'm not checking this out. I'm very sorry about that.
Our show will be better than
that. It would be better than Can you imagine?
You have to have some of that to make a great show. What if we just sat there and we were like really awkward?
Thanks to the team.
Thanks to the team for this.
Thanks to the whole team. Thanks, guys.
The show is just me pulling my hair back behind my ears like 50 times in a row.
And then me folding my ears like I do. And then just me like crossing my legs 37 times.
And like not making eye contact with each other or anyone.
And then me like checking the back of my head to see if I have bald spots still and see if my propitia is working, which it does.
And then suddenly I like check my phone and you just start like scrolling Instagram.
And you just like show me something. And then you get a phone call and you say like, hey. And then it's me.
It's me. I'm like doing this thing, but what's up? And then I just take a hushed phone call.
Yeah. And then I just like text.
Yeah.
And then
after about an hour and a half of that, we just get up and leave. All the lights come on and
we can't talk about that.
So that's the show.
No, it's going to be amazing.
No, it'll be way better than that.
I'm really excited. And everyone is so funny who listens to this podcast. So
it's going to be a room full. Can you imagine?
I can't.
These theaters full of lollers is like... I'm high off the
seriously
side of that.
The people, the writing and like the just the humor is like so fun. Like everyone who listens to this podcast is hilarious.
We're gonna walk into a room and go, where's the applause?
Where's the applause?
Laughter? And we'll both have applause and laughter.
Where's the oh, here it is. Hi guys,
finally I can relax.
Hiya Georgia. You know that's from?
No.
Liza Minnelli on QVC. Hiya. Someone from Georgia. We have a list. We have a caller from Georgia and she goes, hiya, Georgia.
I'm
so glad you called. And then and there's a part where the woman's like, you're an inspiration to me. Some caller calls. She goes, you're an inspiration to me. You're an icon and you're often a mentor to me. And then Liza goes, oh, you're a mentor to me too.
That's how I feel about the
readers. That's how I feel. Yeah. I am Liza. Everyone, Google Liza on QVC and you'll know what I'm talking about. And that's me.
We're all mentors to each other.
That's going
to
be the show. It's just going to be...
call and response.
Me and you as Liza Minnelli on QVC. Mm-hmm. Hi, Georgia.
Hi, Georgia.
And at one point, she goes...
I'll do her Sex in the City 2 dance.
And she goes... At one point, she goes, do you like the clothes? And the camera kind of zoomed. This is all real. Rich Jezriak cut the... from he used to write for Gawker. Mm-hmm. He cut the video because he's so funny. It's on YouTube. But, and the camera slowly zooms in her. And she goes... And the caller goes, what? And she goes... Do you like the clothes? And she goes, the caller goes, yes, I do. They're all beautiful. And she goes, oh, good.
I hope that we both get to a place of QVC eventually. Because
I want to go on.
Really fun.
I want to go on when I'm just like not all there and just like.
I want to go on at like 75 to 80.
Yeah. Then just go, do you like the clothes?
Do you like the clothes? then, All right.
God, I love her.
It's going to be great. So stay tuned. Stick around for at least 40 more years.
Want to know one of the most heartbreaking moments, and then we'll get into it.
Yeah. But
Liza Minnelli trying to get into that. Remember that Ellen selfie at the Oscars with like J-Law and Bradley and like Angelina?
I'm forever haunted by that stupid
Meryl.
Selfie. Ugh.
Did you know that in the way back, Liza Minnelli was trying to get in?
And they didn't let her? That's fucked up.
There's like where she just couldn't reach high enough.
My favorite part of that selfie is Julia Roberts because she looks fully unhinged. And like, we all know how beautiful she is. But in this is the one picture that's ever been taken of her where she truly.
It was like Jared Leto got in somehow, Lupita and her brother, which was cool. And then like J-Law and Meryl Streep.
And then Julia's skeleton face is in the back cackling. And it was, she's like, and it's one of my favorite Julia moments.
Oh, man.
God bless her.
Did you ever see the video of her drunk on the red carpet?
No.
There's like an interview. I think she was like tipsy at some award show, which is like they're probably all are.
Yeah.
But she was like with George Clooney and she was kind
just
of
drunk and silly with George.
she was just like a little like she seemed like she'd had a few wines.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it's pure Julia.
I love it. Every once in a while, my new
She's
thing...
She's busting George's balls.
My new thing is to grow my armpit hair out really long for like a month and a half and then look in the mirror and like wave. Like, remember when Julia was on the red carpet and she waved and then it was armpit hair? When my armpit hair gets to Julia Roberts wave level, then I shave it all off and then do the whole cycle again. And it's been really fun.
Good for her for that photo.
I love it.
She didn't give a fuck.
It was a classic
She
moment.
Knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
I remember that
fucking
so vividly.
Renegade trailblazer.
Yeah. I remember that so vividly.
Yeah. It's burned into my memory. She kind of leans.
It's like that meme of Kamala Harris, like, waving. Have you ever seen that?
No.
It's like a video of her just, like, waving to someone in the distance, and she goes... and it just feels very...
It's put on a bit.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're excited for the tour. Buy tickets Friday.
Buy tickets December Friday. 13th. We'll be sharing links across all of our social media. If you want to get in on a presale, you should look up SUP, Sex Unique People, on Facebook, and then get in there and get a presale. Or join Patreon.
And we'll see you in
Throw us some bones and then get a presale code that way.
And we'll see you in one of those cities.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay. Bye. And hi again. Because we have...
Bye. What?
Bye, but I'm also
like, I have like
hello.
Terminator vision right now where it's like...
You're just cowering down.
Can you ever forgive me?
No, I will forgive you.
Okay.
Wait, speaking of forgiveness...
There's no forgiveness.
This is a forgiveness-free episode.
In Franklin Lakes.
Yeah. Shit is going down in this episode.
Shit. So we're coming back from the To Be Continued at Chakra, showdown between Dina and Danielle.
At Chakra, as Danielle calls it.
As we now know, this is Dina's swan song. Which I was like, at the end, we'll get to it, but I was like, bye, Dina.
Yeah, I truly,
see you later.
Like, my Play reaction the at the end, I was like, why are we watching her, like, pet her cats? Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Like, why is this happening? And then it literally, as soon as I was like, this is so boring, it was like, Dina has chosen to leave the show. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Not
but
mad
I was
anymore.
Like, I was kind of like, later.
It's time to go, yeah. Bye.
Go pet your...
Love you, love and
you
light.
And your...
Love and light, but...
She's like petting her like oil slick cat.
Yeah, she's like touching its little wrinkles.
Yeah.
Hey, blessed.
Bless her.
Bless ya.
So
we're back at Chakra.
Danielle and Dina are mid-fight, and yeah. she goes, Danielle goes, Dina, you are not an enlightened being. You are not some kind of holier being than all of us. And Dina goes, I don't think I'm a holy being.
I don't think I'm a holy being.
Dina goes, you are not a Ramtha. And then at one point, Danielle goes,
you are no Jay-Z.
You are no Jay-Z.
You are no Jay-Z Knight of Ramtha.
And at one point, Danielle says, she goes, she's like, I am a single mother raising two children. I'm going through a divorce. She goes, you have everything. You have a family. You have a second husband standing by you. And I was like, oh my God.
Wow.
Brutal.
Brutal. But yeah, Dina is trying to hold up her boundaries, mm-hmm. and Danielle refuses to be shushed.
Yeah. Danielle goes, you cannot come into my space. And then Dina goes, we're not in your space. We're in a public restaurant.
But also, Dina is wild for even coordinating this whole thing in the first place.
Dina was a little, she was also crazy for doing this, because she brings her into a restaurant, and then it's like, when Danielle starts getting a little heated, she's like, there are people eating.
Yeah, like, as if you care about these randos eating. They're strangers. It's also, like, why do this at a restaurant with
a
hothead?
It's like, I need to take time to heal publicly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like that.
Dina goes, don't talk about last year. Don't talk about last year. And Danielle goes, I will always talk about last year until I move into the now. And I was like, what does that mean?
I think
Danielle's obsessed with time.
She loves
time.
She's obsessed with going to hell, and she's obsessed with time.
She loves time.
She is like a time crusader. She has stolen time, and mm-hmm. she actually time travels.
She does.
Have you seen the show Dark?
No.
On Netflix?
No, but I want to see it.
Well, anyway.
I just have to get to a place of subtitle. For a show, for like a long series.
That's
of a
also
show.
A place.
Yeah, it's like, I'm just never, like, rarely am I in a place of subtitle for like a episodes of a show.
Yeah. Movies, see Parasite.
Yeah, I've seen it.
No, I'm just telling.
Oh, yeah.
Repeating.
I'm in a movie place, I'm always in a place of subtitle.
With shows. But Danielle is obsessed with time. She's tried to hijack time before, but she's been banished by like time councils.
Yeah. The wizards of time, keepers of time.
They have it out
closed
for Danielle.
The gates.
You think the cartels have it out for Danielle? It's actually the keepers of
time.
Time with a Y.
Yeah, time
keepers.
The keepers, and it's an A E that's merged together.
Keepers of
the keepers
time.
Keepers of time. They talk like Canterbury Tales.
Yeah,
it's literally Danielle is from the Canterbury Tales.
Oh, for sure.
She was literally part of. You should go back and read the Canterbury Tales, and you will find her hidden within the pages of the text.
Not only does Danielle speak Old English, she speaks
fully speaks Old English.
She speaks Celtic.
She is a Celtic
or
witch.
Gaelic. She speaks Gaelic.
Gaelic.
The capers of time.
That's why she's always like these women.
These women.
It's Canterbury Tales.
So Danielle was banished by the Time Council, and she's constantly trying to. She's
trying to get back to like Middle Ages.
She has a few Danielles in different timelines.
Yeah.
She's trying to align them into this one. So when she says, we are not talking about next year until I am in the now, because she's currently in the past.
Yeah.
So she's waiting for other
I will always talk about last year until I move into the now. What the fuck are you talking about, you time traveling dominatrix?
Time traveler.
Time travel.
The keepers of time. No, but she, I think stuff happened.
What happened that she's alluding to? Because she's like, she's making it seem like Dina has committed a crime.
Well, so Danielle, apparently between seasons of season one and two, because when they were filming, after season one stopped filming, because on the reunion for season one, Caroline alluded to like, Danielle, you know what you did, and you did something so terrible, and she had a breakdown and started crying.
Oh, I remember that.
And I think Danielle might have tried to get Dina's daughter taken away from her.
Oh, fuck.
Because she's divorced, yeah. And, like, mm-hmm. there's some custody shit. And I think Danielle tried to, like, sabotage that. So I think that's why.
That's why Carolyn's heated.
And that's why she's so like, Dina, why are you going back to this girl?
Got it. Okay. But then what does Danielle think that Dina did? Because she's like...
You, Danielle's a
it's not about me. She's it's about being able to face what you've done.
She's a time bandit.
Yeah.
Like her.
Like whatever Dina's done in the future is what Danielle's talking about today.
She's conflating like future Dina. Future Dina's going to do something so bad.
That's why she's always so confused and difficult to fight with.
Yeah.
She's all over time and space. She exists the time in 40,000 different dimensions. She does. Time caper.
The time capers are after her. So she's constantly on the go. Yeah. So she's currently.
That's why
in this...
also she needs all this protection.
Yeah. They're unwitting time. They are her protectors in every timeline. And they just, so they're confused as to why they're drawn to her. But she
but
knows.
But over and over, their Akashic records have
Danny
merged.
Danny
Provenzano?
Danny Provenzano? So Dina says, also Danielle goes, when you don't get to cut people out of your life,
you do actually, you always do.
And Dina says, I do. But right when she said that, I was like, that's Danielle's biggest issue.
She doesn't want to get cut.
That and her abandonment.
Yeah.
She has like some deep abandonment situation going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she's so thrown off by the Manzo and Loretta clan.
Yeah. That they're like so tight.
Yeah.
And she has like potentially like a broken family scenario.
Yeah.
That'll fuck you up.
It will.
I have empathy.
I have empathy for her that way.
I have nothing but empathy for my queen, Danielle Staub.
But
also has a cooking show.
Yeah. Well, a few of the readers have sent Danielle has an Instagram TV cooking show.
Where she just puts a phone up, I guess, like on a stand and then films herself like cooking veal cutlets or something.
And, like,
but I'm in.
Me too. They look good.
They looked really good.
But
Someone left a comment that was like, did I just see something scurry across the floor? And then Danielle responded to the hater.
What'd they say? What'd she say?
I had to look. I screenshotted it. Danielle said, my 3-pound chihuahua acts like she lives here or something. Oh, wait, she does. Stop visiting my page. If you don't like me, unfollow me. Or how about this? Just shush. Oh, so she shushed her.
Well, she gets shushed in this moment.
Yeah, she is all about bringing back a shush.
She goes, Dina shushes her at one point, which I was like, Dina.
Don't, you know better than that.
And Danielle goes, don't shush me. She says, she like stumbles on it.
She like short circuits.
Do not shush me, Dina. But she at first she says sus me.
Sus. Then Dina finally leaves, and then Danielle goes, "You are as fake as the hair on your head." And then Dina goes, "My hair is totally real."
And she storms out of chakra.
Yeah,
and then she
says that to like a producer,
I know.
Like trying to justify her real hair,
or like the hostess.
Yeah,
and then there's this like wild shot of her driving like top down the highway, and her hair is all like flying everywhere, and she's like, she's a crazy. I should have listened to Caroline.
So crazy.
She's crazy.
Cuckoo.
And then Danielle she calls Danny and John, who were definitely out in the parking lot, like, jerking off together.
Yeah, they were, like, behind the restaurant, behind a dumpster, just, like,
mutually J-O-ing.
Yeah. Well, first, before that, Dina goes, poor Danielle, she's pushing 50 years old, so it's not likely that she'll change her ways. But
yeah.
It, like, had to get one more dig in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Danielle...
Oh, Dina goes, I heard it said that someone at that age... I was like, oh, you heard it said?
You heard it. Oh, yeah. Okay.
You read it in a textbook.
I love that Danny and John are ushered into Chakra to then sit with Danielle and, like, hear her rehash the story.
Yeah, baby, we're outside in the parking lot. I was like, the fuck?
That is truly the last person I want to see in a parking lot.
He's probably off parole now. At this point in the show.
Danny Provenzano.
So he comes in with John.
Silent John.
And Danielle kisses. She goes, hi, baby. How are you?
They are totally fucking.
Yeah. But like just the whole like, she goes, oh, it's good. It's good. She goes, I can't even begin to tell you, describe to you what just happened to me. Dina just came in here and was screaming in the middle of this restaurant, berating me. I can't even begin to tell you what just happened. And Danny's like, oh, man, I'm sorry that happened.
Danny's being an active listener. And John looks like he's always fighting the urge to get like a rock hard boner. The way he holds his hands, and he's always like, and his face is red and his veins in his neck are sticking out.
He has horny energy.
He's horned up 24/7.
Because he's quiet, too.
And the quiet, that's when you know the quiet ones are the horniest. Yeah, so John is like in
he's like a boner town, Bradley. USA.
Yeah, he's so sinister to me. But big dick energy with John.
I want. Yeah, he's like, you want to like...
It's a tree trunk, literally. And that's, he's like, I will destroy this building with my dick if I get hard. So I have to like... take addict everything in my whole spirit and soul to keep
he has
down.
Like a like 16 inch cock.
Yeah,
and Danielle knows it and
loves it.
Good for her.
Gotta have John around.
What can
he's
I
a
say?
Really good one to have around. He's I've got to be quite honest with you.
Danny doesn't listen as much, but John, he really listens.
Mm-hmm. John looks kind of confused, though.
Yeah, he's like, why am I here?
Danielle then goes, guilty ones run. She ran. Guilty ones run.
Danny's like, she's sick.
What is she guilty of?
I don't. I mean, Danielle, the I love time. All her crime talk.
Her cry. She's fully in like crime land.
Yeah. So we cut to Jacqueline, Caroline, and Teresa, and their families are going to like a livestock farm.
Yeah, I got like a petting zoo somewhere.
And CJ, Jacqueline, he goes, Mom, what kind of animals are there? And she goes, well, cows, roosters, Danielle's. And then she covers her mouth, and then CJ like is shocked.
Yeah,
he's so scandalized.
He's scandalized by that,
which I thought was sweet.
That is sweet, and I don't think, I mean, everyone parents in a different way. With a little boy like that, I feel like you want to be really conscious of how you talk about women in front of them, because they kids just like absorb all of that like a sponge, and it's like,
yeah,
it's just not gonna help their outlook.
I had the same thought. It was like very like woman on woman misogyny, and
yeah, like don't call women pigs around like a little boy.
But he seemed kind of like upset by it. Weird, like he was. I think it like upset him weirdly.
He had a reaction to it, and then I was just like, oh, this will be like a memorable moment for him.
Yeah. And I think Caroline was
did you just call him a pig?
Did you just I think Caroline,
she's a little more conscious of that.
Yeah, I think she saw that and was kind of like tender with him, mm-hmm. which I thought was like sweet. Like she was like, you shouldn't say that to Jacqueline. And then she was like kind of comforting him almost. I think he was like scandalized, and it was like awkward. It was a little awkward.
Yeah, there was a lot of awkward family stuff.
And then they get to the farm, and Teresa's like, look at the pig, it's Danielle. And so I'm like, well, any progress they just made,
out
the fucking door.
She really spent the whole ride there explaining to the girls how Danielle's a fucking pig.
She called Danielle a pig, Caroline says. She called Danielle a pig.
Did you call her a pig?
And then I said Melania is going to eat a whole horse in one. Like she's
Melania is gonna like take down some livestock.
Yeah.
When the first shot where Melania has like her little hat that she's wearing, and she's like, "Get in the car, everyone! Get in the fucking car!" Like ready to get to the fucking livestock and see the pigs.
I've waited all week for this. I want to go see the pigs
all week.
I want to go see the horses, and I want to see the pigs. And ain't none of you are gonna stop me.
I hear you talk about these pigs.
No, drive. No, drive me, Dad. Get in the fucking car, Mom.
Everyone in the car.
Gabriella, shut your fucking mouth and get in the car.
You're staying home. That's it. You're staying home.
Gabriella, you're staying home tonight. Adriana, don't even get me started with that one.
Don't even think about it. Don't open your mouth to cry. I see you open your fucking mouth.
I see you open your fucking mouth. Go back in the crib. Leave a pot of pasta boiling for Adriana.
Mamma mia.
And Gia goes, oh, I cannot go.
Mamma mia, get the horse in the carriage. Oh, we gotta go.
Gia goes, oh, Mama, I cannot go. I have to stay behind and cook a pasta for the baby and stay in and scrub the floors and cover the house in red sauce for the coming winter.
She's like, Gia, come on. We gotta go see the pigs.
Come on, we gotta go see the Danielles. I mean, the pigs.
Like, get in the fucking car. So they get there and...
Melania and Gia love the horses. As soon as they see the horses, they're like, the horses!
Gabriella definitely like went up to a pig and was like, I know you're in there.
Yeah, she's like whispering satanic messages to a pig. She like cuts one's throat and like collects its blood in like a little amulet.
And she just goes up to one and looks in its eyes and goes, I know you've seen hell.
Mm-hmm. Pigs are satanic.
I've seen it too. And then Melania skirts under, there's like a... roped off area, and she just blows through it and climbs up on a haystack.
Yeah, she just climbs to the top of the haystack.
And Jacqueline goes, look at all them up there.
Looks 20 feet tall. There's no safety rails or anything.
Why was Albie there?
I don't know. Why were Ashley and Derek there?
Oh, yeah. Well, then Derek shows up, and Chris is like, Joe Judas is like, yo, we should chain him to a tree and let a deer have its way with it.
These guys are so homoerotic with their weird poker basement.
Oh, yeah.
Like, sex acts.
But Joe's, like, Joe's description,
Joe's
he was
insane.
Like,
insane.
He was like, let's leave him out in the woods and the deers will just do what they want with him.
Joe goes to Gia. He goes, don't touch the pig. It'll definitely eat your fingers. Joe's literally fed a body to hungry pigs.
Oh, yeah. And, like, let's leave him in the woods.
Yeah.
That's like the
Pine Barrens.
Yeah. Or, like, Adriana.
Yeah.
Or Adriana.
Adriana.
Odd.
Age.
Age.
Yeah, it's there's weird energy with Joe around, like, all this livestock. And then as far as, like, initiating Derek into, like, the pack of poker-playing men.
But also, Chris is actually very homophobic.
Yeah. He's, like, the quiet homophobic where you know it's, like, really has a problem with gays.
I also will talk about it, but there was a moment that he had with Ashley that made me shudder.
Yeah, I was shook. Joe notices the pig balls, and Joe goes, he's got such a sack.
Look at that sack. He's got a hernia.
That pig.
He's got a hernia.
Such a sack.
And Teresa goes, oh my God.
And they all freak out over this pig's balls, and then the cameras like, zoom in. And it was a real
like,
ball humor moment. Which is like,
this is the guy's balls.
Joe goes, he's got a hernia.
He's got such a sack.
Don't put your fingers in its mouth. It'll bite your hands.
It'll definitely bite your fingers off. You like know that for a fact.
He does.
He's held someone's hand in front of a pig, and it watched it bite his fingers off and then laughed.
Melania has too. Melania's come with him.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been like, all 12 of these are man-eating pigs.
She goes, yeah, these pigs are pretty hungry.
You know, it might not come as a shock to you, but these pigs are pretty hungry.
I don't know about you, but I don't want to be interacting with no hungry pigs.
You gonna sell us that warehouse or not?
What do you have to say for yourself?
What do you have to say for yourself? I gotta tell you. I don't like being around no hungry pigs.
Mm-mm.
So I ain't gonna stay here long.
Ain't gonna be no hungry pigs for me.
No.
They're not hungry for me. They're hungry for you.
They're hungry for you. And the guy starts screaming. And Melania goes, aw.
Oh, sausage fingers over here. Wanna cry about it.
Oh, scrapple face over here. Give me a sausage boy.
She finishes the cigar that she's like chuffing on.
She just inhales it.
She inhales the whole cigar down to the butt and throws it.
Hey, Pops, let's get the fuck out of here. I'm hungry.
All right, this time I'm going to give you a pass. And the guy's like, thank you. Thank you so much.
He drives away and she's sucking like a bottle of milk.
She drives away and then turns around and nods to a guy and she goes, finish it off. And they just shoot the guy in the head. Feed him to the pigs. Melania fucking is Tony Soprano.
Melania is hardcore.
She's hardcore.
Yeah.
Tony Soprano is shook by Melania.
Yeah. Who the fuck's that?
Soprano?
I don't know him.
I'll fucking kill him.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
Dina goes to Jacqueline and Caroline to tell them about her chakra showdown. And she goes, I mean, she was screaming and people were trying to eat the calamari.
But she called it the calamad. She did like the Jersey, like gabagool.
Calamad.
She was, people trying to eat the calamad and she's going crazy. It was like living. And then Caroline's like, I don't want to say it was right.
I don't want to say.
You can say it.
But
you
she's my baby it. Sister, so I'll let her come to me and tell me that she's sorry, but I'm not going to hold it against her.
She's pure evil.
She's got a pure heart, that one. My baby sister.
Dina goes, karma's a bitch, and so is she.
Great line.
Cool.
So Danielle goes and meets like a weird cast of women that they try to like foist upon us this episode.
Her friends that we've never seen before.
I think we've seen some of them at like her scary like Saddam Hussein luncheon.
But yeah, where she forced their pledge of allegiance.
But these women, the whole episode, you start to realize that they're like, they don't actually like Danielle. They're just like bored and she's like fascinating to them. And they're like kind of, it almost seems like they're making fun of her.
They're along for the ride.
And it like, they're a little like, they're kind of like, yeah, do that, Danielle. Like they're like, she's like their jester almost.
Mm-hmm.
It's like very weird.
I wasn't getting true friendship vibes between any of them.
Like they just met her a month ago.
She goes
to meet Kim G and all these women at a restaurant that it looks like, I love that kind of restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
The booths with like the kind of plasticky. The booths are kind of greasy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
The vinyl booths, mm-hmm. you slide vinyl. Across.
Yeah.
If you have leg sweat, it like makes your leg sweat more.
Yeah. Ugh. I kept like seeing myself in one of the booths. Just in the background.
In the background.
Eating chicken palm.
Yum. Dina wrote Danielle an email.
Well, Danielle goes, I gotta take it. I'm gonna have to take a sip of this. And she takes a glass of wine.
This is now Danielle's performance art. This is where she's like transitioning into just like a pure performance artist.
Kim G starts leaning in. She goes, I got an email from Dina. And they all go, ooh.
She's subject it. Closure.
Closure.
Which is like, okay, she's, have you...
These are little glasses on the very last possible tip of a nose that a nose can have. They're like, somehow, it's defying gravity. It's some time caper shit.
Yeah.
And her glasses are on the...
Balanced like, precariously.
And she's holding up her...
Oh.
Her little shawl on.
She reads the whole email.
And then it intersplices with Dina reading it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, what is this edit?
And there, but Danielle did a really good read. Like, I would love to have her at a reading of some sort.
Danielle should do the vagina monologues.
Yeah, she should, actually.
That would be great.
That would be transformative.
Like a one-woman...
Let's reboot vagina monologues on Broadway. Or off-Broadway.
Remember when that was so big?
I was obsessed with the vagina monologues.
It was cool.
I was in boarding school, and I somehow heard about the vagina monologues. I don't know how, because we were like pretty cut off from like anything going on. But it made it all the way through to me. And then I was like... Mom, I really need you to get me like a copy of the vagina monologues. And my mom was scandalized and almost refused. But I was like, no, mom, like I need it. I have to have
it. You had a call to something.
I was called to the vagina monologues, and then my mom relented and then sent me a copy, or like brought a copy for me on a visit that I smuggled in. And then I was just like in fucking vagina monologue heaven reading them. And I was like, hell yeah. Fucking pussy power.
Yes.
Yes.
All the women are like nervously laughing at every like twist Danielle makes in the email. And then she goes, and so do you want to know my, she goes, would you like to know my response? And they all go, yes.
Yes, and please.
Kim G's like frothing at the mouth. Kim G knows Danielle's full of shit, but she's addicted to her madness.
She loves it.
She's drunk on it.
Like, yeah.
You can see her knowing better, but she just can't help herself.
Also, I love that Kim G no longer... even takes the time to like put on makeup for these scenes. She just goes like barefaced, like ready to just see what's new.
She would have been a great housewife.
She would have. She's a real linchpin of this whole show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this show was built on Kim G's back.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
And Danielle goes, and would you like to know my response? And they all go, yes. And she goes, I wrote LOL. Whatever. Send. And they all go,
ooh. That's a great response.
LOL.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Lol, whatever. To a like serious closure email.
Yeah.
Iconic.
Dina goes, she's a sick woman. What can I say?
And Daniel goes, she's a disgusting pig.
Yeah. So.
And Kim G's face is like, ooh. She's so like.
She's like, take the straw and it's just like, it's like hocus pocus. She's like feeding off her life source.
She's yeah. Going, she's like, ooh.
She can't get enough.
Yeah. And then Danielle goes, too blessed to be stressed. And then she takes her wine glass and makes everyone cheers. And then she goes, God bless our children.
God bless our children.
God bless our children. Like, why are you bringing children into this?
Know.
Anyways.
So then Kim G, the Janice that she is, goes heads right over to Jacqueline.
She puts a little barrette on her hair. She puts on some crazy like sweatsuit with a leather, like a huge leather button is like applicated onto like the hood of it, and like grabs her Louis V colorful bag.
And I think she lives like in walking distance to Jacqueline, so she struts on over to Jacqueline.
She did power rock.
And Jacqueline is holding her baby, and she goes, hi, come on in. She goes, she gets out the Baileys. Jacqueline loves Baileys.
Yeah, she's a Baileys girl, because I think you can just put it in coffee, and then it's like you're caffeinating, but also you're taking the edge off at the same time.
I think she does that a lot.
And no one's the wiser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Kim G kind of is like playing both sides. She's buttering Jacqueline up. She's telling her how stressed, continuing to tell her how stressed being friends with Danielle is making her.
Yeah, she's stirring the pot.
Which I think is honest, but she's definitely being two-faced.
Yeah, she's a total two-faced. Yeah. But I live for everything Kim Ji does.
I like when Kim Ji, you see her from the back, like, kind of poking at the baby and going like,
Yeah, and also Jacqueline's baby is sick. And then Kim Ji's like, oh, the baby's sick.
What's wrong? He's got a cold.
She doesn't care.
No, I don't care.
Let's talk about
Doesn't
Danielle.
Give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you've got a baby.
And her hands, she's like, that's her hands. She has like her little cat
little
hands.
Little teeny cat hands. Yeah, they're like a little like beaver paw.
She's got these like little like, yeah, and she's just constantly,
oh, what's your baby got? He's got a cold. Oh, that's so sad. Well, I've got some things to tell you about Danielle.
So
then Chris Manzo and Albie go meat shopping.
And he goes, pound the prosciutto.
Honestly, I'm all about their meat shopping trip.
I was kind of turned on.
I was into it.
Yeah.
Albie, he says that he and Derek went to graduated high school together.
And he didn't know him. That made, I was like, oh, Albie was like one of those like.
Albie was like probably a douche dude.
Yeah. He was probably like mean to him.
Yeah.
Or paid no mind to him, which is like almost worse.
It's weird though.
He's like.
The way that he interacts then with Derek is really weird.
Because he's like, I'm.
Because it's like he's not acknowledging. It's like.
They're peers.
Yeah. He's probably had class together.
Yeah.
It's just like, why would you act like that?
Also, when they
Why
went
would
out,
you full-blown stob/stossy someone like this?
He totally stossied him. Also, when he took him to dinner at Lua, he was like acting like he was a decade older than him.
I know. I didn't realize that they were literally the same age.
And Derek, and maybe the reason why Derek was so quiet was Derek was like, what bitch, we graduated together.
Yeah. Why would they have like smoked weed together?
He probably like smoked weed with him at like one high school party. I bet he was like an emo kid, Derek, like a skateboarder kid or something.
Yeah.
Albie goes, I never even heard of the kid, which I hate.
Yeah.
We discussed that.
Yeah. The kid.
Yeah. I never even knew the kid.
Never even knew the kid. Literally, you're 20, like in your 20s. You can't say that.
Also, the class had to have been like, I mean, I know schools in New Jersey have like, some schools have like,
thousands of people
in
the grade.
So I get that, but like it just felt really like Albie was in a different world and like probably thinks he's more important.
I don't trust it.
Don't trust it.
And so they are homoerotic initiators.
Pound the prosciutto. Game night at the Loritas.
And then Jacqueline's like, I don't know about their initiations. I mean, they've been known to hog tie someone and make them sit in the corner. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Jacqueline loves it.
She goes, they just play the poker while we, the women, make the food. And I was just like, ooh.
Jacqueline gets into it.
She loves it.
She loves watching
men.
She's
like a wifey and watching like men do the man numbers thing. But the cards, and they eat the meat. And I make the food.
They read the cards.
They read the cards. They throw them on the table. There's the chips. She loves it. I'm getting chills. I'm like psychically getting the exact vibe and excitement levels of Jacqueline watching her man play poker. He plays poker and he gets a little damp.
The cards with the little faces and heads on them. And they sit around the table and I bring plates down there. And I do circles around the table. And I just kind of
check in.
Turn
and like when I come in, they all get quiet. And they go, what are you guys talking about?
And they all go, nothing.
And then I leave because, you know, they need their time too.
And then on my way out, I give my husband a little knowing flick on the shoulder. And that's about it. That's all he's going to get for now.
Yeah. Until later.
Until later.
When he gets a little handsy.
Yeah. But he looks across from me from the room and we just share a little moment. It's like, that's what I do. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Why does Chris have... Literally, he has like a full-blown like weapon storage in this like basement.
He has an arsenal.
He has a hammer, a mallet.
Talk about a finished basement.
Yeah.
They
have like a mattress in the back that they use to like put over someone before he like pulls out his like AK-47 and goes to town. He literally has a safe full of guns and a mallet to like hit someone's hand. That's probably generationally passed down. It's like his grandfather's
mallet.
Yeah, it's the Lorena mallet. They've like, this mallet's broken thousands of hands. You and want it?
Yeah. He comes in, he's like, should I bring the mallet down?
And they just put it on the table.
They're waiting for Derek to come.
Yeah. They also, can I just say, they spent $543 on meat. Those are people after my own heart.
I would love it.
I live.
Just those, like, the salam.
All I want is
salam.
Cold cuts.
And salam.
Salam. Prosciutto. Gabagool.
Calamar.
Calamar. Trying to eat my calamar.
I'm trying to eat my calamar.
She's going crazy.
And so then we cut to Danielle back with her, like, pretend friends.
Her random friends that she's never interacted with before, except for, like, the couple times we've seen on camera. And then Danielle's going to see her friend Sue. And she goes, wait till you see her crew. Talking about Sue's dogs.
Yeah.
Her crew.
She goes, oh, the chihuahua. And she goes, Sue goes, your arms are better than Michelle Obama. And well, I was like,
Danielle makes a really weird joke where she's like, I really want another chihuahua, but if I don't start dating soon, I'm going to end up with this guy. And I was
German
like
Shepherd?
A big dog. No, yeah. It was like a Great Dane.
Yeah.
It was like a weird sexual joke. To me, it read, maybe that my mind's in the gutter, but to me, it was like,
I think it read like, I need a man to protect me.
Yeah.
So instead,
okay. Yeah. That makes
you took
sense.
It as like dog fucking.
Yeah. Sorry.
I mean, I used to think Kim Richards fucked her dog, so.
I mean, I don't think it's like out of the realm of possibility for anyone.
No.
But, like, it just was like, whoa, like, why would you equate dating or like it's either dating or a dog? Well, it just seemed weird.
No, I think it's because the timekeepers are after her, so yeah.
So she needs protection.
If I can't get a man, I'll get a Great Dane.
Yeah.
I'll get a.
She needs more protection than a Great Dane. Mm-hmm. She's like a pack of wolves.
But her friend says, your arms are better than Michelle Obama. And Danielle goes, really?
Like, look really, at your guys? Shape. It's fantastic.
So this episode weirdly becomes like...
Danielle
has to get her like groove back. And she's like, I'm afraid Steve, my boyfriend from last season who I made the sex tape with, like took away her
sexiness.
She feels like she can't trust
her
people.
Ability to be like sexual.
Yeah, so she's like trying to get back into her mojo, but I was like, it felt really put upon.
We're trying to figure out what exactly happened. Like,
so she made a sex tape with her old boyfriend, and she claims that he sold it without her consent.
So he then tried to take their private tapes,
yeah.
That even if he filmed it like over her, where she thought he was texting, but he was filming,
yeah.
Her, it was still just supposed to be for them.
Yeah, but she like told some conflicting things to Jacqueline. She said that there were hidden cameras. And
then Steve tells Jacqueline that she filmed herself.
Yeah, like it led up to it, like he said, which is like, okay. And then.
So it's all just really confusing about like.
What's happening.
But we do know one thing, which is that Steve is fucking disgusting.
Steve is disgusting. We'll get to that. But.
But Danielle is still reeling from sex tape gate.
So she's been in the middle of a lawsuit. She's felt like she is in sort of the dark with her mojo. And she's,
yeah.
So she feels like she needs to get back. She goes, the girls have decided to get me back out in the dating world.
And she goes, and I'm not calm in the boudoir.
And they all go,
ooh.
Yeah,
and then Sue goes, if I decide to fix you up, then we need to see some skin.
Yeah.
Which is like then becomes a precursor for like the next Danielle scene.
They go, look at your form.
Look at your form. It's stunning. It's perfect.
So back at the Loretta house, Jacqueline.
Danielle's. Okay. So Steve is invited over for poker.
Yeah.
And then
Jacqueline's, to her credit, is uncomfortable. She's like, I don't want him in the house. I think what he did to Danielle was disgusting.
Yeah.
He like robbed her of her like privacy. So she's pissed that he's there.
She's pissed. And then Teresa goes, he's 26. That's what boys do.
She goes, I mean, she goes, hello, that's what young guys do. I was like,
is it?
What?
That's not.
They sell
private tapes of women to try and make money off of them. And then I was also more so thrown by the fact that Steve is 26.
He looks like he's 48.
He looks like a 48-year-old pedophile.
He's disgusting.
He truly is like revolting levels.
He is Grendel.
Yeah. He truly is not the one.
No.
And then Jacqueline admits that she's made a sex tape once, but then I taped over it.
Yeah. And Teresa's shocked.
Yeah. Teresa, like, has Teresa just had sex four times in her life to, like, make her kids?
Yeah. I feel like.
Or maybe she's just having, like, the kind of sex she has with Joe is, like, only missionary position and lasts, like, 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And she's, like, I would believe, like, she's never had an orgasm. And yeah. She, like, takes pride in the fact that they, like, fuck every day or, like, multiple times a day. But it's not, like, sex that she's really enjoying.
No.
And because, like, he wouldn't. Because like, then the
she
way.
Like, she, like, it's, like, in high school, like, tallying it. Like, how many times have I had sex?
Being like, oh, my God, we're wild.
We've had sex six times.
Yeah. But it's, like, you're just getting, like, rabbit pounded by some guy that doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. And, also, like, I wrote.
What did you write?
Well, Teresa was being very well, so then Steve. Jacqueline calls Steve over and is like, I just have to tell you, I think what you did was disgusting to Danielle.
Yeah.
And you should be really sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, he's like, she was sending me freaky videos before. She goes, she was totally in on it. And then I was like, and then they were like, Teresa goes, I mean, she's sending videos of her like masturbating. I mean, who does that? And I was like,
lots of people.
I go, let he who hasn't sent a J-O vid cast the first stone tree.
Yeah. I mean,
male or female.
We've all been there.
So
it's not
like,
that big of a deal, and it's not anything to be ashamed of.
No.
Then I was just thinking, I was like, my God, your daughters are going to like watch this someday.
I know.
And like, this view of sex, like everyone's reaction to this, even Joe's like, that's disgusting. And it's like, Joe, don't act like you haven't received like thousands of video. Also, it's like, if you watch porn, you're watching a video of someone like jerk off or have sex with someone else.
Yeah.
So like, it's not gross or anything.
Yeah. Albie's like, that's an image I don't want in my mind. I'm like,
I'm like, bullshit. I'm sure Albie watched Danielle's sex tape and jerked it to it.
Yeah.
I'm sure all the guys got together at poker night and probably watched it.
And jerked off. And then Steve comes back into the room and Chris goes, want some nail polish?
They go,
I was like,
it's like,
bye.
Cool.
Tie him to a tree and let some deer find him.
Derek is also late, which doesn't bode well.
Power
move.
So then we go to...
Danielle's
getting like a lingerie, sexy, like,
my girlfriend's like, talked me into shopping for lingerie. I'm sure she really had to be talked into it.
I know.
Brutally convinced.
She's like, oh, it's really hard for me to get back into this slip of a thing, but you'll pay for it, right? Like, she just is going, someone else is picking up the tab.
Yeah. And also, it's just like any chance to show off her bod, which she is a really hot bod.
She does.
Is like, she'll take it.
Yeah, it's
she loves the attention. And I love her, like, I was not feeling so sexy, but now I'm back.
And you see her and she like lifts up her little flap of her back flap of her negligee. Mm-hmm. And all the women go, ooh!
Ooh! And she goes, nothing wide. I'm not the virgin bride. And then someone else goes like, I've been married three times. And then the ladies are like, woo! And then they all sit around and like wave little like feather things as Danielle does like strip teases for them. I was like, I would love to be in on this.
Yeah. And one of them just randomly goes, sometimes my husband and I take Ambien.
So they said that?
No. They're just admitting things.
They do admit things.
Sometimes my husband and I just take Ambien and pass out for 2 days.
See what happens. Woo! Danielle goes, she sticks like her legs out. She's like, She also is wearing perfect heels for this occasion.
I know.
Then she does wear white.
Yeah.
And she goes,
And she takes her leg, and then she takes her leg up and it's an AK-47.
It's a machine gun.
She goes,
back up. Empty your purses on the floor. And give me everything inside of them, or I'll shoot. I swear to God, I have no problem sending you bitches to hell. And robs them. And then, she goes, Danny, come on. Danny, get this stuff.
And
Danny puts it all in like a trash bag, and she robs all her friends and the entire store of lingerie.
She goes, now, if you would be so kind as to send me straight to hell...
Now I'm going to need one of you to shoot me.
As I need to go straight to hell. Would some of you get on it? Send me to hell?
1, 2, 3. On the count of 3, I would greatly appreciate it if one of you ladies would send me right to hell. 1, 2, 3. And it's she just sits there for like 15 minutes and no one knows what to do.
And she goes,
well,
she goes, that was a test.
You all passed.
You passed with, and that really was the smoking gun.
Mm-hmm. She goes, you're my best friends. I know who my best friends are.
All the women are.
They're like, one of them is like, shit her pants. Danny's like, we gotta go. We gotta go. We gotta hit the road. Her leg could just turn into a machine gun at any time.
Oh my God. I'm having some trouble. Okay.
Danny Provisano.
So then we go back to the Loretta's.
Back in the basement. Oh,
and fucking Ashley comes with Derek.
And she wears another hideous beanie. Maybe the most heinous one yet. It's like an olive green, mustard colored, saggy ball sack beanie that Joe would go, look at the sack on that one. And all these.
And Ashley goes, Ashley sounds so hungover. She's
hey, partied out a little CJ, bit.
I love you, CJ.
I love you, CJ.
CJ, I love you so much.
And she is truly Joe and the boys have come up with a great troll on Derek. They really put their heads together for the ultimate initiation where they just give him some like shitty tasting wine.
And he goes, well, and they all go, hey.
They go, drink it.
No, he's it. And then that's how
Joe goes, this is age 15 years. And they think it's like hilarious. You know, they think it's like really funny.
That's their initiation. You think it's going to be like you have to like get your hand hit by a mallet to get in. But no, it's just you have to drink some old wine.
Yeah.
It's like cool.
And they all laugh. They probably still talk about it to this day. They're hey, like, remember when we made Ashley's punk boyfriend drink that wine?
Fermented shit. That's like when my grapes fermented in my lunch bag in sixth grade and my teacher asked me if I was drunk. Because it smelled like wine.
It was sixth grade. I guess you could be getting drunk in sixth grade. I love a sixth grader reeking of wine.
Yeah. So then Ashley's upstairs. And Jacqueline...
Ashley brings down, like, some sort of plate.
Well, Jacqueline tells Ashley that...
Then they're watching everything on a monitor, like monitor. And so, like, Ashley comes in the poker room after, like, the wine troll and, like, brings in a plate and then, like, leaves. And then comes back upstairs. And then Jacqueline, like, turns to her as they're just trying to watch the boys. And she goes, you look like grandma coming in. And laughs. And then Ashley
goes, my mom said I resembled a family member who I love but is very fat.
Yeah, so basically Jacqueline called Ashley fat.
Yeah, Jacqueline's,
she knew exactly what she was doing.
Jacqueline, I have to say, I have to be quite honest,
I have to be quite
I think
honest.
Ashley's a terror, but I think Jacqueline totally pushes her back and she does it to herself, and I think Jacqueline likes to be in the role of, like, I'm just the mother trying to get through to my daughter. And she's, like, in this position of, like, infallibility where she feels like...
And she also knows she's prettier than Ashley.
She does, but it's more... It's like, actually a weird game that they're playing where it's, like, I think Jacqueline legitimately is stressed by her, but I also think she gets a payoff from
Ashley
being a shit show.
She loves to tee her up and then... Like,
be the victim.
Set Ashley up to be mad and then punish her for being mad.
She's got a case of martyrdom.
Yeah, and it's like, it's truly wildly, it's fucked up for her to say that to Ashley because she knows exactly, like, she's basically being like, you looked fat back there.
Yeah.
And then Ashley's like, what the fuck?
And to say that to anyone is mean, but to say that to your kid who's like going
through daughter,
like, a turbulent phase. And
yeah.
It just was so stupid and... So then Ashley,
and
like,
then being like, what? Like, what? Being like so innocent. I said she looks like a family member.
I think Jacqueline also gets off on Chris yelling at her.
Yeah. She likes she loves like a punish Ashley.
So Ashley goes down. This was the one time I was on Ashley's side.
Mm-hmm. I was team Ashley. Team Beanie or best.
So Ashley goes downstairs and they're like, what's wrong? And she's like, I don't know. I'm really mad at my mom right now because she called me fat, basically. Mm-hmm. And then Jacqueline goes, oh, Ashley, come on.
I didn't do that. I called her a fan. I don't know what. Like, I called her. I said she looked like a family member.
And then she's sitting next to Chris and she's just trying to say what happened. Chris is drunk as fuck at this point. He takes his thumb and puts it on her bottom lip and goes, shut your mouth.
Ooh, I missed that.
You didn't see that?
No,
That was bone chilling. He puts his thumb like up to her mouth and he goes, shut your mouth.
I don't like it at all.
And Ashley goes.
And she can't speak anymore. She's also not saying anything that bad. Like, I think it's like that fair to say.
That was deeply weird.
It was weird. Their whole relationship dynamic is weird.
So then she's just like,
and then
leaves.
Jacqueline's like, you're showing your true colors right now. And then Ashley says like a comment and Jacqueline literally throws her out of the house.
Just
she grabs her by the sweatshirt, like lift, like, and throws her out. In front of her boyfriend, too, which is also, like, a fucked up thing to do. Like, if your boyfriend's just meeting, like, and sitting down with all the guys for this, like, night that means a lot to them, to, like, set up your daughter like that is really shitty.
It was very weird, and she... And Derek stays.
Derek stays.
And they're all like, hey!
Women, am I right?
Women are
right. Bitches are crazy.
And Jacqueline's like, I think it was actually great that Derek stayed.
And then Joe goes, I'm impressed. He was impressed by Jacqueline literally like tossing Ashley out on the street.
Well, Dina promotes like child beating, so.
They love like throwing a kid out.
You ever think of beating her?
You ever thought of beating her?
Giving her a beating. Just a little bit, just to instill some fear.
Just to scare her.
So then we go to.
Then we go to the Squeeze Lounge.
Which
I'm ready to go there.
Yeah, I think, I don't know.
First Preakness, then the Squeeze Lounge.
I Googled it. Hold on.
Is it still around?
Yeah. It's in Weehawken, near Jersey City.
Okay. My body and soul are ready to be transported to Squeeze Lounge.
So, it's a stripper club. Strip club.
It's a stripper club.
And Danielle goes, back in the day, she goes, back in the day, and I was an exotic dancer in the 1980s, but back then it was more burlesque. And then you cut to Caroline, and she goes, burlesque dancer? I didn't know we were in 1936. And I lolled.
Caroline lolled hard at Caroline. Yeah. A burlesque dancer?
Burlesque dancer? And she goes, please. I didn't know we were in 1936.
And so Danielle is gonna. There's really no reason that anyone's here, but I guess Danielle.
It's part of her like this
she's
narrative.
She's getting her groove back.
Some producer had a really ambitious vision with this episode. It was like, we're gonna do a three part.
They didn't really key it up that well, but like the payoff is huge. Danny and John also go to the Squeeze Lounge with some other guy in like a tracksuit.
And they have this, you know, it's one of the dancers there is Danny's friend. So they're all like, he's like, so she's going to show you guys some tricks.
But my friend
Shauna is going to, or what was her name? Like,
yeah, there are a couple dancers
Shayna?
That are
Wasn't
like,
it like Shayna.
I don't remember, but there's like, there are actually like the pole dancers and the employees at the Squeeze Lounge. And so they do their like. One of them does a very impressive pole climb.
She climbs to the top. And you see Danielle looking and she's like. Studying her, and she goes, wow.
She goes, the poles have gotten a little higher since I was around.
Higher too.
And
they
then
they
change into little like sex. Boy shorts, mm-hmm. which is a weird look. It's like a very then look.
Yeah,
you don't really see boy shorts all that much anymore. And Kim G in a boy short.
I said that. I go Kim G. Dancing on the pole is me.
Truly. Also me. I would fully Kim G out. I have no upper body strength. I would just pull and then my little boy shorts would come down and show my butt.
I related. I felt she was her most vulnerable in this moment.
Danielle goes, I'm all about empowering other women. Other woman. I'm all about empowering other women. And then they make Kim G get on the pole. and her little butt starts to show.
And one of the dancers is like very kindly like
kind of just to pulled like, it up. Hook it up.
And Kim, God bless her, she gets on that pole.
She gets on that pole.
And Danielle's like, I would say Kim G probably wasn't as good.
Kim G also by the end, first her little butt crack shows, then like someone, you know when like a kid's pants are falling down, you grab them by the side, you're like, ooh, like you pull them up to hike them up. One of the strippers kind of does that to Kim G. Then she gets on the pole and her full-blown thong is out. She slides down slowly with her little legs out and her thong fully comes up. And she's wearing like a little white cotton string thong, which I was like, that's cute. And then she stood up and everyone clapped. And then she like got back in place. Her thong was out. Kim G is one of the bravest women to ever grace the screens.
The men were all like,
Hey.
And then Danielle goes up.
John's like holding in his boner. He's getting like redder and redder.
He says
he's like fully popped an eyeball out.
Kim G, his eyeball. Him and Kim G, what if
she catches it?
He fell in love with Kim G in that moment.
They have a secret. They have the kind of relationship like Carmella and Furio, where they don't say, they don't ever voice their feelings to each other, but it's just there.
Yeah,
that's Kimji and John. They don't need to. Then Danielle's dance.
She's like, then I decided that I'll give it a twirl.
And her ass crack is just like out.
Yeah, and she does like an amazing pole dance.
Yeah, she's fully seducing Danny.
She has the machine gun legs.
She has her machine gun legs on.
She goes.
She's just making eye contact.
Or engage, and then suggest.
And she does a full routine. Danny's like the wolf in the cartoons. He's like...
yeah, and he's looking at all the boys, and they're all like, eh.
The guy in the tracksuit goes...
They're all slapping each other's hands.
One of them like hugs Danny around the neck, and he goes, she's a fucking nut, I love her!
Oh, man,
and they're all just like...
Isn't she wild, man?
High-fiving boners together.
Well, Danny's probably telling people that's his girlfriend.
Yeah, I think it is his girlfriend at this
point. He's in love
with
Danielle.
They're in love with each other.
I don't think she's in love with him.
No, she's using him.
But he is... head over heels for this woman.
She's teasing him.
And she looks at Danny and goes, engage and then suggest. And Danny, oh, and all the women are like, like all the women she came with are all like,
John's teeth like fully crack out of his mouth.
He's like biting his nails. He's like, oh,
the tracksuit idiot is like, she's fucking not in lava.
And then as she's finishing her routine, Danielle goes, as she's in the mid seduce, she goes, this is what worked for the father of my children.
Worked for the father of my children, flicks a hip at Danny. And I was just like, whoa, daughters are literally going to see this.
Why?
And be like, my mom...
the father of my children
hoarded up to seduce our dad, and then he fucked her and came inside and like had us.
But why say that mid routine?
I don't know. Danielle is
so awkward.
I'm literally tracksuit Guido in this situation. She's a fucking nut. I love her.
She's a fucking nut.
But I love her.
She says that is a crazy thing to say. This is what worked for the father of my children. It's like she just says it. I was married three times.
I've been married three times.
My husband and I take Ambien and see what happens. A lot.
This is what worked for the father of my children.
And Danny goes, ooh, 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 ooh. And then John in the back.
John freaks me the fuck out so bad.
They all go to the bathroom like, oh man, that was getting me crazy in there. Oh,
John goes, I just got to jerk it.
They're like, go take care of yourself, man. Go in the stall.
He runs into the woods where his tree trunk can come out.
He climbs up to the tree in the woods behind the club. Behind
I
Squeeze
believe that
Lounge.
When John runs, he runs on all fours.
Mighty Joe Young. Yeah. He's Mighty Joe Young.
John is not well.
He's truly unwell.
And then it cuts to Dina's final scene. Ugh,
Dina's like,
truly, I was like, why? And then they explain why, and I was like, okay.
She goes, I'm out. She got me.
She got me. But then Danielle was describing Dina and hers beef, and Danielle goes, she is the most condescending.
No, it's a flashback scene where she goes, the most shrill, bitter, condescending person I've ever met. She's the most bitter,
shrill,
and condescending person I've ever met. And Jacqueline's like, oh, that's my sister-in-law. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Then Dina decided to stop filming. She desires to spend more time with her husband and daughter, focus on charity, and be a supportive godmother to Teresa's daughter, Adriana. She continues to be. Yeah.
She comments on all their little posts.
Was this the last time that she was on Jersey, or did she make a comeback at one point?
She's gone.
She was gone after this? Damn, she made a real splash.
They take her out of the credits, too. Like, yeah. Immediately.
Her impact has been lasting, though. She was always iconic.
I think she had some good quips, but I think she got lucky with, like, being attached to, like, the table flip. Mm-hmm. She's part of that.
And she had those cats, and she was kind of, like, blonde. And like, she showed up every once in a while. She would come into the mix. Or no.
Season one, she was way more there. Season two, I was like, you're boring this season. Like, it's fine. Mm-hmm. You haven't really done it. Like, the chakra thing was, like, more of Dina season one. But season one, she gets into the drama. She has some beef with Jacqueline at some point. They have a little weirdness. And then the reason the table flip happens in season one is that Danielle was under the impression the whole season that Dina was the one who brought the book mm-hmm. into the chateau.
Okay.
To show everyone. But then Caroline goes, it was me.
Oh, okay.
And then Dina goes, Caroline? And then Danielle goes, that's not what I heard. And then that's what starts.
And that's when Teresa starts revving her engine.
Well, they're fighting. And then Teresa tries to chime in. And then she goes, name change and engage 19. Or she goes, name change and arrest. Pay attention, please, Teresa. And then Teresa goes, I am paying attention. And then that's when she snaps.
That's when she loses it.
Yeah.
Prostitution whore.
So Teresa wasn't even really in it.
Wow. Teresa really knew what she had to do mm-hmm. and was ready to throw the fuck down.
Yeah.
And has been throwing down ever since.
She really has.
God bless these women.
She went to prison.
I know. Threw down there and everyone respected her. She had a lot of friends.
She did.
Well, God bless our children.
God bless our children.
God bless you.
God bless you. God bless all of you.
God bless all of you listening.
In a fit of giggle post over here.
God bless never going to jury duty again.
God bless jury duty. God bless New Jersey. God bless North Jersey. God bless South Jersey, where I'm from.
God bless
Philadelphia, where
Philadelphia.
I'm from, too.
God bless Mid-Jersey.
God bless Mid-Jersey.
God bless
Timekeepers.
Timekeepers for guarding the gates of time.
And keeping Danielle out.
Yeah. Don't let her move into the now.
Danielle her biggest thing is she can never settle in one time because they chase her out. So she's quit fucking chasing me. She says that at one point.
Every time you chase me, I'll continue to run.
Yeah.
Is what she says. And so thus, this cat and mouse game has been going on forever.
The timekeepers are coming.
The timekeepers. Well, read the Canterbury Tales. Let us know once you're reading it where Danielle pops up.
Buy tickets to our show.
We're announcing it. Tickets go on sale tomorrow.
Friday,
the 13th. The day the Federation's holiday.
The Federation!
The Federation wants you to buy tickets.
It'll be on our social media, various
verticals.
And,
yeah.
We love you.
We love you. 2020.
Bye-bye.
Bye.